Okay. All right, let me pull up the Bible here and get started. All right, we had today I want to just share some things with you in a from the perspective of a lesson based upon two events that happened to me on today. And I was like, okay, what is it that you want me to talk about today? So I don't really, like I said, I don't really ever kind of prepare for what I'm going to say. Unless y'all leave me to do some kind of time. And so he just said, in a nutshell, just tell your experiences and I'll lead you in the which direction to go from there. So that's what I'm going to do on tonight in training school. Is there are two incidents that I wanted to share with y'all, and I titled these incidents. One of them is the worthless worker, the worthless worker, and the other one is the evil tenant. Okay, and so I'm going to use those two, I guess, subtitles. I guess the main title is be careful who you entertain.
It's like a Hitchcockian clip
show. The first one is the worthless worker. And these are subtitles, the worthless worker, and the second one is the evil tenant. The main subject matter is be careful who we entertain. Or you can make it personal and say be careful who I entertain or who you entertain. But I just say we for the sake of the lesson, be careful who we entertain. Okay, we'll start in Hebrews chapter 13, and then we will just move through a couple other scriptures to deal with these two subtitles, and then I pray that we get the revelation that I got from my experiences on today, and like I said, Yah is constantly teaching, you know, constantly learning, and so I'm excited about this lesson on today because it was a blessing to me. And it was a blessing to the ones who experienced these two incidents. And it was just a blessing to me. And I was dumbfounded. And you know, as we deal with this, I was also dumbfounded because of how Yah, anytime Yah uses me, I'm always dumbfounded by it because it just always makes me want to pinch myself and say, man, you know, I'm the fool, you know, and y'all just constantly using this fool for one reason or another, and I can't figure out why, but it's just that it's what he want to do. I know why, but I'm just saying from my personal perspective. He uses foolish things to confound the wise, and so I'll start out with the first subtitle, the worthless worker. I had went into a, did I pray? Okay. Father, y'all, we just bless your name on tonight. We just thank you for your awesomeness. We declare that you are the one true Yah. We thank you for your Son. He indeed is the Savior of the world. And we bless you for your Spirit that you inspire us with to be enlightened, to know your perfect will for our lives. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen. All righty. The first incident I had, it began... it started off, I'm trying to think what day it was. I think it was last Friday. And I want to call the names, you know, to protect the innocent of me. Since we in this vein, I want to call that name to protect the innocent. And so I was at this particular church, and we were having discussions about our project, and there are some things that, you know, we're getting ready to do, you know, as far as our project is concerned. But when we got ready to leave that particular church, I needed to use the restroom, okay? And from doing so, there was no place because the church, actual church part was locked. The part they're renovating, you know, is where we were, and the restrooms are not finished out. And so I needed to use the restroom before we, you know, before I left. And so Bishop, he had said to me, he said, the pastor, he said, why don't you go down the sidewalk a ways, he said, and ask them, can you use their restroom? He said, it should, you know, let you, you know, use their restroom without any issues. And I was like, okay. As I'm walking down, the way y'all deal with me now, it's what I want to encourage each one of you to do. You know, I always say allow the spirit of y'all to slide into your mind. Well, I ain't got no sense no how, so it don't take. It's real easy to slide in on my mind because I ain't got a whole lot going on no how. So from that perspective, you know, I was walking down the sidewalk and immediately the Spirit of Yah came up on me. God breathed, the breath of Yah. The minute the breath of Yah came on me, and from that point I knew that I was being led by Him in the things that was taking place. So I walk in. As soon as I walk in, the person who was over this particular office is actually one of the deacons of the church. And so when I walked in, I said, how you doing, deacon? He spoke. I said, do you remember who I am? He said, yeah, I remember who you are, pastor. I said, okay. I said, do you mind if I use your restroom? And immediately there was this arrogance that came from this guy. It's like immediately he threw up a shield, but it was a shield from a perspective of, I am more important than you are. So what stemmed from it was the spirit of pride. And so immediately he said, well, why you didn't use the restroom down there where you were? And I said, well, I told you the church was closed. And because I had told her, I had actually told her, so the church is closed, and Bishop sent me down here and said that, you know, see if y'all would say that it would be okay for me to use the restroom. And so he immediately, I guess he didn't hear that part, and so I wasn't paying attention. And so he said, well, why you didn't use the restroom down there where you were? I said, well, as I told you, the church was closed. I said, your pastor, I'm going to call the name, I'll protect them. I said, your pastor is gone, and so, you know, Bishop just recommended me come down here, you know, because, you know, I know you know who I am, and I just wanted to use the restroom. I said, but if that's a problem, that's okay. I can use it somewhere else. And so he said, you know, no, go ahead and use it, but it was still with arrogance. So I went and used it. And when I came out, it was so vexing the way that he did it that when I came out, and, you know, I got a nature that if y'all don't deal with me, you know, that my name comes out. First lion comes out in a minute if y'all don't deal with me. That's why I say he has to deal with me on a daily basis. Because you deal with him, you deal with him nuts. And so immediately I get back, but Yah is up on me, so first lion can't come up. You know, because, you know, first lion come up, you know, I'm ready to growl and start, you know, eating them, you know, from a lion perspective. And so so I walked out, and I called Bishop. I said, Bishop, that was kind of strange, you know, what happened. And I explained to him what happened. He said, well, that's the thing I've been telling you about, you know, concerning, he said, in particular, this guy here, and he said, when you're dealing with people and you're dealing with ministry, he said, you know, it's just certain ways, you know, you have to be in sittings and things like that. I'm like, yeah. And so I went over there again today. I was with you know, one of my good friends I grew up with as a kid. So we went down to the tax office to check on the things as far as the taxes. Taxes are due next week. So I was just checking on that, finding out in detail what, you know, how we had to pay, what happens if we don't pay at all, and different things like that. You know, and it's just ridiculous stuff. The percentage that they show you is just a ripoff. And so, you know, I was like, well, we're not going to, you know, she was like, well, you want to go ahead and pay it now? I said, no, we're not going to pay it. I'm going to wait till the last minute. I'm going to pay you on the first. When we were coming back, we went by there. Y'all led me by there. Bishop just happened to be away, but the pastor was there. I talked to him for a while, and then Bishop showed up a little bit after that. Well, we're getting ready to leave again. And Spirit of Yah comes up on me. Now, I don't have to use the restroom like I did the last time. I was kind of, you know, needing to go the last time, but this time I could go, but I just didn't have to go. And Yah said, go down and use the restroom. I'm like, okay, let me go down again. Spirit of Yah comes up on me again. This time, yeah, there's nothing. Every time the Spirit of Yah comes up on me, boy, I get small when Yah comes up on me, I'm telling you. So I go down there. And when I walk in, I said the same thing. Hey, Deacon, listen, you remember me? Right, I can't use the restroom last time. Same arrogance, you know. Same year, can't use the restroom last time. Do you mind if I use it again? Same thing. Why could you not use the restroom down there? I said, there are no restrooms to use down there. And he was like, okay, yeah, go ahead and use it. You know, well, I mean, you're really arrogant. And so I go in, and while I'm using the restroom, Spirit of Yah said to me, when you go out, tell him that he is being tested. He said, and also tell him that he has to be careful when he entertains strangers, because he may be entertaining angels unaware. So you know me, I ain't got enough sense to be quiet on my own, so I'm sure I'm not going to shut up when y'all tell me the same thing. So I go out and I tell this guy, I said, look here, brother, I want to tell you something. You are being tested. And I quoted the scripture, be careful when you entertain strangers because you may be entertaining angels unaware. And I went on to tell him, I said, you treat people with respect of person. I said, now, if some famous preacher or some famous person would have come up in here, you'd have been all excited, pulling them to the restroom. I said, but when you think people don't have value, then you have a tendency to treat them in a way that you wouldn't treat someone else. They have a ministry that deals with the homeless, and the reports that I've been getting from people is how bad they treat these people who they claim that they have been placed there by Yah to serve. And when I said that, this other guy that was in the office, he started to laugh. And when he laughed, it was from a perspective of, oh, my God, I am glad somebody is finally telling him what I've been wanting to say all this time. And he just laughed and laughed. And when I got through talking to the guy, and I'm going to tell you some things in between, but I'm jumping ahead of myself. When I got through talking to the guy, as I was walking out, the guy said to me, have a good day, sir. Because it just made his day. I mean, the guy, he was just laughing, and he walked out of in the back part of the thing. You could still hear him laughing. He came back. He was just laughing, and he looked at me, and it was like he just wanted to hug me and kiss me because he was like, you finally said what I wanted somebody to say all this time. Okay. And so I end up telling the guy, I said, here's the thing. He said, well, I thought you, that's the first subtitle, I thought you was one of Bishop's workers. I said, you thought I was one of the workers? I said, you remember? I came to your watch service to bring in the new year. I got up and talked as a pastor. Yeah, but I thought you was one of Bishop's workers. So I'm a pastor, and because you think that I'm one of bishop worship workers, then that gives you the living now that you look at me as worthless, even though I have a title of a pastor. You see no value in me, and so therefore you say the things to me that you say, and then you allow these things to happen, and you do other people this way because you see no value in those people. So he says to me, he said, I'm sorry, sir, because now he's seen it. Yeah, I said, show him who you are, because I'm the type of person, I very seldom tell a person that I'm a pastor if they don't know it. Somebody else has to introduce me as a pastor because I care less about power. I care less about possessions and things like that, and I don't care about those things because the circumstances I've been in, I know that you can be on top of the world 1 minute and then lose everything you have the next minute. I've had things and lost things, so I don't value things. Okay? And so, Yah says, show him what you're doing as a ministry. Show him both of your properties as a ministry. Let him see what his senses, physical, where I'm taking the ministry spiritually to show that what he looked at as being a certain level is way beyond what he can imagine. So I started showing him these things. As I started showing him these things, it went from a, yeah, go ahead and go in there and use it, to, yes, sir. It went from looking at me as being worthless, a worthless worker, to somebody who had value to the point that, well, now he's putting sir at the end of everything he said. Okay? And so that brings me, and like I said, long story short, the brother hugged me, and you can see that there was a change in his heart, and I called Bishop about it, so, well, this is what just happened again. And Bishop ended up telling me, he said, what I realized was happening with us is that this ministry has an important role to play in the kingdom, but right now the people who are a part of it and dealing with things in leadership doesn't have the heart that Yah has in order to go where Yah is taking that church over there. So Yah is sending men who had his heart and able to see things and to see the problem to help them get there by important teachings into them so that they can understand what they're actually doing to people over in that community. They see that community as a bunch of worthless people, and so everybody who come in there, they treat them that way, even their own employees, from the pastor all the way down. And so he said, Richard said, we can't throw these people away. He said, what we have to do is impart into them the understanding of what it's going to take in order for Yah to bring all of our ministries where he wants them to be. So Yah sent someone in there who appeared to him from a sense level to be worthless, but at the same time, what he sent in there is what Yah was using, and is very important at one of the highest degrees, if not the highest. Okay? So that brings me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. And we all have to learn from this principle. Now, one thing about me is I always said, look, well, I'll back up and say, I can't stand for a person to say I'm perfect. Or I think I'm perfect. That's an insult to me. Because I understand the scripture, and I know no matter what, I'm always going to be striving for that goal. That's one reason why I always make a statement. I say, you know what? When the Savior comes, he's going to straighten all of us out. Because I know all of us messed up somewhere. And we all going to continue to be perfecting and growing in the things of Yah. And when Christ returns, that which needs to be perfected will be. Because he's the only one that can do it. Y'all the only one that can do it. Other than that, we're constantly striving toward perfection. So what I'm about to share with you is, you know, it's kind of like one of those deals where I can't preach at you because I'm hearing the same thing. So what I lay out to you is what I have to walk in myself. So as we look at verse 1 in Hebrews 13, it says, let brotherly love continue. Let it continue. Now, when you look at verse 1, it says let, and when you look at the word let, it means to stay. Showing the same meaning. Let and continue is the same word. So they said let here, but it should be, it should, from a nutshell, when you just look at it, continue, brotherly love, continually. So when you look at the word let, it's telling you to stay, to be present. Always let brotherly love continue. Let it stay. Regardless of what goes on, let it stay. Let it stay there. Let it endure. Let it dwell. Let it remain. Let it always stand. Now, one thing I've learned is this. People have a difficulty understanding what any facet of love is because they think it's based upon it is based upon a treatment instead of a what Yah is. Okay? And so when you look at it from that perspective, it is not, you know, it's like, you know, when I always say it, I can tell you I love you, but I can be slapping you at the same time. It don't make sense. On the other hand, I can be whooping my daughters and it don't look like I love them, but I'm whooping them because I do. Did y'all just hear what I just said? So you have to be able to balance it and understand the true perspective as far as love is concerned. Love not going to always be nice and kissy and all this kind of thing. Sometimes love will be a slap on the rear end, but it's the same love that Yah is telling us that we need to continue in. Whether it's brotherly love or whether it's unconditional love, agape. So when you look at this brother love, it's Philadelphia. It is. That's why they call Philadelphia the city of brotherly love. So when you look at it from this perspective, it means fraternal affection, kindness. So let kindness continue. Okay? Let brotherly love continue. We all can work on being kind to one another. Okay? And even though some of us may be in a different position than the other, it still doesn't give us the reason now to look at someone as worthless. Okay? The greatest servant is the one who is the least among many or all. And what I mean by the greatest servant, I'm talking about I'm talking about from a perspective of mindset in reference to importance. So we let brotherly love continue, and then what it says, as you look at it, when it says be and forgetful, it's the same word. It's the same word. The same way let and continue is the same word. Be and forgetful is the same word. So when you look at the word be or forgetful, it means to lose out of mind. So it says let brotherly love continue. Don't be forgetful when you entertain strangers. Don't forget this concept when you're entertaining strangers. Or don't forget this concept at all because you may be entertaining a stranger. Y'all hear this? Don't ever forget this. In other words, don't ever forget, and let's just look at a few of the definition here. It says, be not forgetful. The word forgetful means to lose out of mind. It means to enter, and then it goes on to say, to entertain strangers. When you look at the word entertain strangers, it is hospitableness. Hospitality. Then it lets us know why we should always continue in brotherly love because Yah said, I may be sending somebody to you. I may send someone to your restroom just like I did today in sending your pastor to someone's restroom. Okay? I may be sending a circumstance to you just to test your walk, your love walk. So let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some may have entertained. When you look at entertain, it means to lodge, to appear strange, entertain, to be a host, have entertained strangers. Strangers are not just the angelic beings, but they're messengers. Y'all said, sometimes I may send a message to you for you. Sometimes I may create a circumstance just to challenge you to see if you walking in what I command you to walk in. Did y'all hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this takes me into the next facet of this here to explain what I just finished. When I said to challenge you to see what you walk in. So when you look at the next one is the evil tenant. The next subtitle is the evil tenant. And I'm going to finish that last comment that I made through the evil tenant. I had a conversation, and the reason why I started with this one first, although it was the last incident of the day, was because the incident that happened earlier that day, although it was earlier, what I just explained to you about the worthless worker, it actually started last Friday, so that's why I explained it first, although it was the last event of the day, okay? The other one is the evil tenant. In other words, I talked to a lady pastor who I've been helping out, I've been helping out with some things as far as providing shelter and things like that for people in need, for the homeless, you know, all these different things. So there's this family that we've been working with the past 2 days because they bought a house, paid cash for the house, and put about another $70,000 into the house. And come to find out, they bought the house from somebody who didn't even own it. Paid cash for them, gave the person cash, and then the original owner came back to the house, found out they was in the house, and you know, asked them what they doing, and would tell them they need to get out of his house. And so they were showing them the warranty deed on it, saying we bought this house, we paid cash for it, and he telling them, no, you didn't. This house done been foreclosed on me. So the house went up for a quick sale, and somebody else came in and bought it and came on around a few days later and said, look, I just bought this house. Y'all need to get out right now. Who are y'all? Y'all need to get out of my house. So now these people have to be evicted, and so we were trying to find them a place to stay. It's a father, mother, and two children. A 16-year-old, I think, boy, and a 3-year-old girl. And so the past 2 days, I've been working trying to find them somewhere to live, networking with this real estate agent, trying to find them somewhere to live. And so this home that I'm talking about, this pastor has, she was saying, okay, she had a tenant, she's like, the tenant will be out the 31st, and we can house these people, you know, and give them a temporary place to stay. I'm like, fantastic. Well, long story short, the guy that has to be out so that this family can move in, he make up his mind he don't want to move out by 31st. Now she got to go to court. You know, maybe another 30 days, you know, to evict him and all this here. Now this family is stuck out here in a serious circumstance because this guy just want to make up his mind that he just want to be, you know, just don't want to cooperate. Now, first thing comes to her mind is she started to rebuke the devil. You know, the devil's busy. And I went in and I had laid hands, I anointed my house, you know, religious stuff. I anointed my house, and there ain't nothing wrong with that because I anointed mine. I'm just saying, you know, if y'all leading you to do it, fine. If you don't, it's just a grease house. And so, you know, like I knocked the house, and it's like something's been crazy ever since. Oh, really? I said, first of all, what I'm about to tell you, I don't know. That's what I said at first. What I'm about to tell you, I don't know what I'm about to tell you, but I'm about to tell you something. I just don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. Because the Spirit of Yah is coming up on me, and when the Spirit of Yah come up on me, I am inspired. When I'm inspired, what he tell me to say, I say it. And when I finish, you just hear what I got to say. Here's what I went on to tell him. I said, first of all, don't give the devil credit for anything. I said, one of the things that we always do is look for the devil. I said, you have to understand that sometimes y'all will use things as a tool to get you where you're supposed to be. I said, now, you remember the conversation we had a few days ago, and you were saying that there are some changes that you needed to make, and there were some things you need to get in order as far as that house was concerned, and there were things that you needed to do from a perspective of making sure that things were in order, where Yah could be glorified, and you provide shelter for these people, and you want to change up how you operated as far as your business was concerned, and how you did things, and you were just about taking money, and you would let anybody just come live in there, as long as they got the money that you want. I said, you remember when you was talking about changing all those things? I said, y'all created a circumstance to let you know why he had you changing those things and getting things in order. I said, let me tell you a story. I said, our basement was full of water. I said, and then the city came down on us in the worst way, man. And if you looked at it from the corner perspective, you would have said the devil was busy. I said, but I never looked at it because I don't give the devil glory. I said a roofing came in on that building that we own, and I would say, y'all came that roofing. Because I look for him in everything that I do. And so I said, what you have to do is learn how to look for Yah in everything that's going on. I said, and realize that, yeah, the devil may have jumped in that man, but remember what happened with Job? I said, Job could not be touched until Yah lowered the hedge for the devil to come in. I said, so if that guy is being a tool of Satan in your house, then guess who let Satan in? Yah. And y'all let Satan in to get you ready for where you got to be. See, we always look for the devil to bring us down where we are. Y'all say, I put that devil there. No, I put the city on you to get the water out of the building because the only way you could get a $200,000 grant was if there was no water in the building. But somebody who look at it from a car perspective would be saying, man, the devil's fighting y'all in it. No, the devil's not fighting us. Y'all getting us in order. So, as we look at this from a perspective of the evil tenant, the second sub-talent, we have to realize that everything that goes on with us as a child of Yah is just to get us to where we need to be. So here's the thing. Look for Yah in everything, whether good or bad. If it's good, you know, folks love a testimony service when it's good. They don't care what the Lord has done for me. I just want to thank the Lord for my health, strength, and, you know, all he's done for me because he's so worthy. You know how we do it, a testimony service. You want to tell all the goodness. But can you glorify him when it gets big times of toughness? Can you see Yah working in your life when stuff is crazy? My brother-in-law would tell you because he was there with me a lot of those days. Brother-in-law, what did I tell you when that guy was sitting across the street looking at us and we knowing that he was the problem? I said, no, leave him alone. I said, y'all working this thing out. I said, I'm looking for Yah in this here. I said, brother-in-law, something good is going to come out of this. Well, I didn't know y'all said nut. You can't get no $200,000 grant, and you got 3 foot of water down there in the basement. You got to get that water out of there so that when these folks come in here and start doing that report, so that you now can be eligible for the grant, that they ain't going to be like, we can't walk down here, and you lose out on everything. So y'all said, I got to use the city as a tool to get you where you're supposed to be. So I told the lady, I said, look, y'all using that man, the evil tenant that you think is full of the devil, and the devil just being and trying to hinder you, y'all using him as a tool to get you where you're supposed to be. I said, we as the saints got to learn how to quit giving the devil credit. I don't give him the credit for nothing. Whatever goes on in my life, whether good or bad, I look for y'all. When things happen as bad, I say, you know what? Y'all must have wanted to take this way because there's something he's trying to get out of me. Y'all must have wanted it to go this way because there's something he's trying to get out of you. So you got to learn how to see y'all in everything, whether good or bad. Pretend y'all only when everything is fun and happy and feeling good. See y'all when it's crazy. See y'all when nothing seems to be going right. And you know that although it's not going right in your life, y'all doing something to make you great. Telling you how your pastor sees stuff. All right? Now, Jeremiah 43, verse 10 says this. Jeremiah 43, verse 10. And I'm just going to read verse 10. Read verse 1 through 9 on your own. Just read verse 10 for the sake of the time. Verse 10 says, Jeremiah 43, verse 10. It says, I'm just dead, verse 10. And say unto them, thus saith Yah of hosts, okay, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar. Y'all remember who Nebuchadnezzar was? He's the king of Babylon. What did he do? Y'all remember? He took our nation into captivity. The Babylonian captivity made our nation slaves. But look what y'all called it, my servant. Y'all took a wicked man and made him his servant. Why did he make Nebuchadnezzar a wicked man, his servant? Why was the evil tenant classified by me as a servant of Yah? Why was that? Let's look at it now. When you look at the word servant in verse 10, the word servant is ibed. It means bonded, a bondman, a man servant, a bond servant. And in other words, when you look at it, Yah used, and I like using the word tool, Yah used Nebuchadnezzar as a tool to get our nation where we were supposed to be. Remember, our nation had started being a bunch of drunkards. They had stopped following the law, statutes, and judgments of Yah, and they started falling out the idols. So Yah said, I'm going to use Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked man, as a tool to bring about my will to get my people to turn to me. So, what tool has manifested in your life to show you where Yah is taking you? What tool is going on? I became a tool of Yah to go in to point out to a man that, look, Yah want to do some great things with you, but you got to get out of your pride and quit looking down on people and thinking that they're worthless because in your mind's eye, you don't see them to be as important as you are. I had to take a pastor and sit that pastor down and say, look here, you got to quit calling this man the devil, and you got to look at Yah is using this man as a servant, just like Nebuchadnezzar, as a servant to get you where you supposed to be. Because the way you operating now, you can't go where Yah going. I got a word for all of you. The way we operate now, we can't go where God is taking us, so he's sending servants to bring up things in us, to pull it out of us, so he can throw it away and push us forward to be everything he's talking about. And your gauge is, when it took place, what did you see? Did you see God or did you see the devil? Did you pass the test, or are you still having need to be tested? Now, my father-in-law, there's a principle that he taught me, and I apply it to my life, and I do it to the Savior come. And I told it to you before, but I think it's a good time to tell it again. He came down from Florida some years ago, and I really love my father-in-law. I'm close to my father-in-law. So he came down from Florida some years ago, and it was a time when I was really, you know, keeping up with my yard, and I was out there pretty much every day on Fridays. Pretty much I was out there all day, 7-8 hours. I mean, and yard was looking immaculate. So he came down. We still had our grass, a pear tree, the two big trees in the front yard. I said, "Can I see son?" He said, "Well, you really got this yard looking nice." He said, "Tell me something." We're standing out there on the sidewalk close to the road. He said, "Tell me something, son." He said, "How do you do your bushes?" I said, "Well, Dad," I said, "what I do is I get up on them and I trim them." And I said, "When I trim them," I said, "I trim them so far," and then I walk back to the end of the sidewalk close to the street, and I look toward the house, and I see if they straight. Then once I look at them, if they straight or they crooked, I go get back up on them, and I start trimming the areas that I saw was crooked and continue on with what I saw was straight. He said, "That's wise, son." He said, "But you got to apply that to life." He said, "Sometimes you get so close to your own stuff that you can't see how messed up it is." I go, "Wow." He said, "Son, sometimes you have to stand back from your own mess to see what kind of mess it is." He said, "Sometimes you got to step outside of you to look at you. Sometimes you got to step back on the sidewalk and look. And when you look and honestly judge your work, you can see what kind it is. But if you think your work is perfect, you all up there close and you're doing it, and you got a roller coaster for some bushes, and you think you're doing perfect work. You think you're just doing everything God told you to do, but because you don't have a self-examination by standing back and looking, you don't see that there's something wrong with your work." And that's the way most Christians are. We all think we're perfect in our own eyes, so that when things happen, we can't sit back and look and examine our work to determine what sort it is. We're too busy trying to examine your work. I don't want to sweep around my own front door. I want to sweep around Allen's. I don't want to sweep around my own front door. I want to sweep around Lund's. I want to sweep around other people's front doors. But when I step back and look and examine my own work to see what sort it is, then I come to a conclusion. Why do you think I always say, "I always ask y'all, am I all right? Y'all, is there something that I need to improve on? Y'all, have you changed something? And I'm too busy working with what you told me to do that I can't see that you made some changes. Y'all, what are you doing that caused me to have to adjust my work? What is it that I need to step back from and take a look at it to see if you want to do something else or if you're doing something else?" See, people get caught up into their work to the point to where they don't realize that the bushes are crooked because they're so busy working. Sometimes you have to stand back and say, "Okay, I'm in the right place right now." Am I what y'all want to do? Or have he sent some tools to stir up some things to cause me to be uncomfortable because he wants me to move out of this place and into another place that he's called me to be from the perspective of the kingdom? He does me like that all the time. If all of you who've been with me some years be honest, when you look at what I do each year, you have this one statement. something's happened with him to the point where he changes every year. Every year there is a mindset. I'm just saying every year just from a general conversation. But there's constantly changes that Yah is making, and I'm constantly checking. I'm constantly checking to see if there's something else you want to do. And if you're not checking to see if something else Yah want to do, and you just constantly up on your working and doing as usual, you may be out of the will of Yah. And Yah have to send a tool to make you uncomfortable so that he can push you into his destiny, because you've gotten so comfortable where you are that you can't move into what he wants you to be. So he created tools. He creates circumstances. He creates servants. Whether one goes in the restroom and asks you out of the blue, can he use the restroom? Whether one comes in and decides that they don't want to get out of the house, I'm just using the two subtitles. But you find yourself in whatever I'm saying, and you realize, wait a minute, these things may be happening. It ain't that it's the devil. These things may be happening. It may be that this individual is a tool in my life to expose something going on with me. Let me get personal now. What's wrong with the individual who was a tool may be to show you what's wrong with you. That tool was to show you you. And there are tools always being put in my life to show me me. And I'm having to sit and examine myself and be like, okay, y'all. Okay, y'all, I got to work on that. That circumstance happened just like the way that it happened, because you let me know I got the work to do, and you love me enough. This is what I love about Yah. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Yah said, I allow these circumstances to happen in your life on a regular basis because I love you enough to create them so that you can become what I've called you to be. You want me to tell you the only father who don't do anything to his children to bring forth change? Satan. Scripture says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of the things that he do, in a nutshell, you do. Satan don't care about instructing his children. They already do crazy stuff for him to do. They always do crazy stuff just like he do. But Yah said, when I see a child, John 15, let me just go there. Yah said, when I see a child, and that child is growing, he said, I purge him. I take off stuff I don't like. Why? So they can grow and bear more of what they bear. So when you start to do good, guess what's going to happen? A tool. That tool is going to come there to deal with you in a way to make you be even better than what you already are. Because where you are right now, where we are right now, is not good enough. If I'm going to be a witness that stands before the gods of the earth, then I got to make sure that I continue to grow. And Yah going to continue to put tools in my way to get me where he want me to be. And he's going to continue to do the same thing with you. When that stops happening, it's because you no longer here. Now, John 15, verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 2 is where I want to be. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges. When you look at the word purge means to cleanse, to expiate. To purge, to prune. I have a fig tree. I'm constantly cutting off dead branches, because if I don't, then it's going to cause that tree problems and the tree is going to die. So Yah is constantly working on us, and he's constantly putting us in circumstances, and he's dealing with us on a daily basis, and he's creating these environments that frustrate us, but these environments are created to bring out of us the best. So Yah said, that baby is growing. Let me purge it. He sent a tool. Something happened you don't like. a circumstance happen that you're uncomfortable with. These things start to happen because y'all said, yep, I love you, so I'm going to purge you because you got more work to do. Isn't he neat? Okay. Now, as we continue to look at this, we'll go to Jeremiah 43. Did we read Jeremiah 43? Let me just read it again. Jeremiah 43, verse 10. Jeremiah 43, verse 10 says, and said unto them, thus said Yah of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal provision over them. Yah raised up Nebuchadnezzar to deal with Israel and to deal with all those who dealt with the nation of Israel. He sent him to judge the captives of Israel in one fast or another, and then also Israel itself. Okay? And so it's important. I got to remind you of this again. Look for Yah in everything, whether good or bad. You remember when I told you when I was down in the basement and I caught fire? And I ran all in the basement trying to put myself out. And when I got upstairs, y'all just allowed to burn my eyebrows a little bit, my nose hairs, you know, a little bit. And I was completely consumed in a whirlwind of fire. And that's all it did. And I asked y'all, I said, why did you let that happen? He said, as a testimony. So that people believe that when you go up, and because I talked that way tonight, that you'll believe when you tell people that you was in a whirlwind of fire, they will see the burn in your hair up in the front, your eyebrows, and in your nostrils and some part of your beard. They will see it to know that you're telling the truth, but at the same time, I allowed it to happen as a testimony for my glory. So the first thing I did, remember now, I got to say it again, look for Yah in everything, whether good or bad. When that thing was burning, it took me about an hour to put that generator out because it was full of gas, and the gas tank was about 2 feet wide and about 3 feet long, full of gas. And that gas was burning the whole time. It had the whole basement lit up. It was like a whirlwind. It consumed me. And I finally tried to get the thing out in the pit area, and it eventually burned out from there. After about an hour of me trying to constantly put water on it, for about an hour. I was so tired putting water on that thing. But when it happened, I asked Yah. The first thing I did was look for Yah. I said, Yah, why did you let this happen? I didn't start rebuking no devil. Because I know who got me. So since this happened, the first thing come to my mind. Now I'm talking to you. The first thing come to your mind when stuff crazy is you go to Yah and say, Yah, why have you allowed this to happen? Because I know Yah is in control of my life. And if he allowed me to get caught up in a whirlwind of fire, he is doing it for a reason. So my first thought was, I just started doing the devil, use a lie. I bind you in the name of Jesus. That's what most Christians do. Oh, devil, use a lie. Devil, I'm attack my body. The devil, I ain't giving him the credit for nothing. I went in the hospital with one of that back in December, January. I can't remember when I went. The first thing I did, I asked Yah, why did you allow this to happen? I ain't looking for no devil. The devil can't come close to this son of Yah. Every time stuff happens, I am looking for Yah. One good thing came out of it. They gave me a whole complete body examination, and everything came out either at a better level than what they call average, or at a lower level of what they call average. In other words, my physical health is fantastic from all the reports that I saw in that report. Nothing. Well, at least I know that. Y'all don't have to be going around wondering in the back of my mind something strange going on. But when I was in that hospital, went up in that wheezing, And I'm sitting up in there laying up on that hospital bed, and I'm having a hard time breathing. I get up and walk to the restroom, and it looked like, you know, I just couldn't breathe. I had a hard time getting air in. The first thing I did, I didn't start looking for the devil. First thing I said, Yah, why did you allow this to happen? I refuse to acknowledge the devil. Look for Yah in everything that you go through, whether good or bad. All your experiences today, your experiences yesterday, your experiences tomorrow, whether good or bad, find Yah in it. Yah, why did you allow this to happen? Yeah, the individual was crazy. Yeah, it was all off wet. Well, Yah, what are you doing with me? What are you doing with me, Yah? So again, look for Yah in everything, whether good or bad. Why? Because Yah may be speaking to you in the simplest environment. Everybody always looking for Yah in big things. Yah said, man, I'm speaking to you over in this little corner. Why would I speak to you about big things and you won't let me speak to you about little things? Everybody's always looking for Yah because he's so awesome. He's so grand. We're always looking for Yah in great things. Yah may say, boy, I just got you in this little assignment right up here. 1 Kings chapter 19 is a close. Any questions, comments, feel free. 1 Kings 19, we're going to look at verse, it's really verse 1 through 13. I'll just tell the story. You know, Elijah has a great victory. I believe it's in chapter 17, 18. He has a great victory over the prophets of Baal. Let me just make sure. If it's actually 18. And it's a great story. It's chapter 18. Read chapter 18 on your own time. It's when Yah goes against all the prophets of Baal, Acts 18. Verse 1, and Yah asked them in verse 21, Acts 18, verse 21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long ye halt between two opinions? If Yah be God, follow him. If Baal out, then follow him. And the people held their peace. So Yah used Elijah to establish a test or a contest whereby each individual or Elijah by himself and all of other false prophets of Baal were calling their God, and which God would send fire down from heaven and burn the sacrifice would be the one that was the true God. And as you see in verse 23, like I said, just read 1 Kings chapter 18 on your own time. Well, after this great victory, the man of Yah has an issue with Jezebel, the queen of Ahab, okay? And so she has an issue. The prophet has an issue with a tool. Jezebel is just a tool. So I just read verse 1. After this incident, I may not read all of it, but 1 Kings 19, verse 7 says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done in reference to chapter 18. Like I said, read all in your own time. And with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. In chapter 18, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He running scared now. The great prophet Yah using, which shows that all of us can lose our focus if we're not careful. Here you have this great prophet of Yah. You go read about Elijah. Elijah was an awesome man of God. And so this great prophet now a woman who is a queen, an evil woman, now is a tool, and this tool now is causing Elijah to fear, and he's running for his life. Just call fire out from heaven, now he's running scared. Isn't that how we do it? We'll get up and testify about y'all one day, and then the devil, we feel like the devil stick his head up, and y'all just using that ever too, and then we take off running, we done changed up everything. Now, it says, and then Jezebel sent a messenger, verse 3, says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down on a Jupiter tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And this man that went from a great victory, and when you go back looking, he was so awesome. You just read chapter 18 and see the supernatural thing he did on that day. I think this is in the same chapter, he outran horses back to the city. Spirit of Yah got up on him in this show, outran horses. And then he turned around now from all this year, and he's running. He's running from this woman. I believe this is another incident. It may have been Elijah when he saw the hand as a cloud. So this is not the same incident. Y'all just revealed it to me. So that's another incident. But again, this is a great man of Yah. So as we skip down to verse 13, because here's where we want to be. We'll go up to. I'll just start at verse 10. Verse 10 says, 1 Kings 19, verse 10, it said, he said, I have been very jealous for Yah, God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand up on the mount before Yah. And behold, Yah passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain, and break in pieces the rock before Yah. But Yah was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But Yah was not in the earthquake. And after that, after the earthquake, a fire. But Yah was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And when it was so, verse 13, and when it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the inner end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Isn't it amazing how a circumstance can arise and cause us to run out the will of Yah? Y'all was like, boy, I told you to come out here. Where did you get that information from? What tools arise in your life that make you be misinformed? Y'all said, boy, what doest thou here? Why are you here? I'm talking to each one of you now. What tools, what circumstances have happened in your life? What has happened in your life here recently? What has happened in your life that has made you run for your life? And y'all said, what you doing? I didn't tell you to go over there. Question. Who told you to go over there? What, was it you operating in fear, or was it Yah, the still small voice? Who told you to go over there? Where are you, Elijah? Each one of you now, Elijah. Where are you? Who told you to go where you go? Who told you to go over there? Did I tell you to go in the wilderness? Did I tell you to do what you did? Now, as we continue on, verse 14, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord Yah. for Yah God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. I only am left, and they seek my life and take it away. First thing he does is make an excuse. Reason why I'm out here is because everybody else ain't doing right. Y'all say, wait a minute. What you doing out here in the wilderness? Well, the reason why I'm out here is because of what they did to me. How they made it. What's going on with them is the reason why I'm out here. Y'all say, what they got to do with you? What did I say to you? Let me ask you a question. Can a tool make you forget what y'all said to you? Y'all said something to you, but can a circumstance make you forget what he said to you and cause you to go out in the wilderness instead of being where you can hear from Yah to tell you where you're supposed to be? What circumstance got you in the wilderness right now? And you blaming everybody else because you out there. Remember, Yah sent tools and circumstances, whether good or bad, in your life to get you to where you're supposed to be. So why are you blaming them? Stay away from the work and look at your own self. Why are you up on the bushes working and you think you're the only one doing something? You're the only one who got it right. You're the only one who doing this. And y'all say, step back, check you out. Why are you blaming that person for your circumstance? You the one out there in the wilderness. Ain't nobody told you to go out there. That was your idea. Look what the Lord said. Verse 15, and Yah said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. I didn't tell you to go there, but since you go there, went there, guess what I got for you? I got a replacement. When you get to the point where you start making decisions on your own apart from Yah, Yah going to replace you. Look what he says now. And he said, verse 14, I have been very jealous. That's not where I want to be. Verse 15. And Yah said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, Abel Meholah, shall thou anoint to be a prophet in thy room. Y'all say, if you keep going to the freaking wilderness, every time I send a tool to show you, to cause you to be what I've called you to be, I've got a replacement for you. All of us, here's a revelation, all of us can be replaced. Oh, Pastor Boss ain't so special to the point to where y'all can say, I hear y'all talking to me, but it's because there's some stuff he know that I know. That's why I'm teaching the way I am. All of us can be replaced, but guess what? The reason why you're hearing this message is because y'all said, but you're not going to be replaced. Because I'm going to keep using tools to get you where I want you to be. I'm just letting you know I can replace even the greatest of prophets. Go read about Elijah. He was awesome. Y'all said, I'm going to put somebody in place. Boy, y'all out here. Here you are glorifying me 1 minute and telling my goodness 1 minute, and the next minute you running off out there in the wilderness. I can't use you. I love you, but I'm going to take you on up to heaven. I'm going to bring you on up to heaven in a whirlwind, as you can see in the read on. I'm going to bring you up to heaven in a whirlwind, but I got somebody who's going to be in your place. You're hearing this message today because Yah love you enough to say that I want you to understand that everything that's going on in your life right now is nothing, or any other time, is nothing but tools to bring you into your destiny. Stand back from your work and judge you. Quit telling the stories about who did something to you. Quit going around complaining, talking about what people did to you, and examine the reason why y'all allowed it to happen to you. He allowed it to happen to you so that you can work on you by his leading. And he'll deal with the tool. But he's doing it to deal with each one of you. Man, he crazy as I don't know what. Well, he crazy because y'all want to deal with you. Man, she crazy as I don't know what. Well, she crazy because y'all want to deal with you. Whatever is going on, stand back and say, y'all, why you allowing this to happen to me? Don't start complaining. Say, well, man, shoot, man, y'all, I'm out here trying to serve you, and everybody else is over there killing all the prophets, and I'm the only one that want to do right. Y'all said, boy, sit down somewhere. Let me replace you. You out your mind. Learn an old concept from your old grade, the pastor now. Look for Yah in everything that happens to you. Remember, everything happens to me in life for my benefit. Everything happens to you in life is for your benefit. Since you love God and you know that Yah loves you, know that everything that happens to you is always for your benefit. Know that he loves you enough to let good and bad happen in your life because good and bad make you everything that he called you to be. Remember the water circumstance? That got us a $200,000 grant. But if we had been busy fighting the devil instead of recognizing y'all's small still voice, we'd been still sitting there with a building for the water. And a building full of asbestos and a building full of debris, still hoping and wishing that we just have the opportunity someday to where we can get in there instead of getting ready to go in there this year. Y'all hearing this? I'm teaching this with passion tonight because I know this works. I know y'all use this tool. And I look for him in everything. Two experiences a day. I saw a man who was an evil tenant be a tool for a child of Yah that he loved. Okay? He sent me in there as a tool to get on this guy's nerve about using his restroom, all because Yah loved him enough to say, man, you got some pride problems, and you need to quit looking down at people as being worthless. And when I left out of there, he was saying, yes, sir, and hugging me. And his whole outlook was different. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to him after that, but we're going to continue to, I do know what's going to happen. We're going to continue to work with him and impart into him every chance I get until the changes happen. And if they don't change, then Yah will replace him just like he did Elijah, I'm sorry. So each one of you, when you get ready to leave out of here tonight, no, whatever happens to you, look for Yah. Look for Yah. Quit exalting the devil when Yah is pruning you. Know that he loves you enough to pull off all that stuff and to prune and to take off and to develop you and to keep pushing you forward and to keep making you uncomfortable because he's trying to get you at a level of kingdom. A kingdom-minded level. So he's sitting with you on a daily basis. Embrace it. It's not easy, y'all. It's not easy. It wasn't easy to be in a burning building. But I mean our burning building. The whole basement was consumed with fire. That wasn't easy on the flesh. But I found Yah. Going up there sitting there 8 hours a day. My brother-in-law and I was up there 8 hours a day. What was it, about 2 weeks straight, brother-in-law? 8 hours a day for about 2 weeks straight. I found Yah. Found Yah. Find Yah in everything. And when you find him in everything, guess what? You gonna mess around and be all that he called you to be. And ain't nothing gonna happen but great things from that point on. Why did I just say that? Because people get cornered when I make that statement. I didn't say good. I said great things gonna happen in your life from that point on. Whether good or bad. Every time you hear a great thing, you think it's all the wonderful stuff. Even my bad stuff are great things God is doing for me. So I embrace it. I embrace everything that Yah is doing in my life. Whatever I'm going through right now, I embrace it because I know Yah is doing something to get me where I need to be. So you need to be somewhere. You know?
Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me. I heard a sermon once, and the subject of it was, can you handle a blessing? And, you know, a person's first inclination is, yeah, sure, who can't handle a blessing? But I tell you what, when my youngest brother passed away, I got a blessing. He made me the beneficiary of his life insurance. That's a blessing, but that was a hard blessing to receive.
Right.
So, you know, the things we ask for, sometimes we don't know what we're asking for. And he uses those things, even this thing that he used to bless me, it was a tool that he used my brother as a tool to bless me, but, you know, he's taking me somewhere, and he still is taking me somewhere as a result of that.
Now let me jump in there and give you even more of a blessing. I'm going to be a tool now to cause you to see even some, and this is going to bear witness with you. Well, that blessing would not have happened for you if you wasn't ready. So Yah allowed some tools to happen in your life to get you ready for that. Because
yeah.
If he had allowed some things, if he had allowed that blessing to manifest before he allowed you to be strengthened in some areas, then it would, that blessing would have destroyed you.
Yeah.
And so if you can look back on your life even before that came about, he had circumstances going on. He was constantly testing you in different areas, trying you, and people were being used as tools. You were having a fight in court systems and all this other kind of stuff. You were constantly fighting because Yah was getting you ready to receive what he had, because if he had given you that blessing per se, that even was hard for you to handle, you wouldn't have been able to handle that blessing, and you would have been in a complete different mindset than what you are right now. So Yah said, I got to get ready. I got to put some circumstance in our life, and it don't look like the devil, and it may be the devil working, but she going to realize that's a tool. Train come through and knock you off the track, and they didn't give you nothing?
That's true.
They didn't give you nothing. And so from there, y'all was like, I'm gonna see if she can put her trust in me because I got something. And if she can put her trust in me, I got a blessing coming. So you didn't lose. I'm exposing some stuff now. So then you didn't lose from that wreck. Y'all just brought it about another way.
Yes.
But if you had went down that vein and got to complaining, and the devil busy, and I ain't thinking about God no more because here I done tore up my car and all of these things going on, and these folks don't even want to pay me, and they're the freaking railroad, and they don't want to pay me, and all this here. Man, forget this. I ain't walking about there. I'm the only one trying to live right, and all this crazy stuff happened. Y'all have been like, yeah, let me deal with her brother. He going to take her name off of his policy. So he allowed those things to happen to set you up to be where you are now. And where you thought you lost down the road, y'all said, I got something for you. That's why I always tell people, I never lose out. Whether it's financially, I never lose out on anything because y'all going to always bring it about. He know how to redeem the time and make it to where whatever benefit was necessary, it all comes back around. So now, everything that you've been messing around on, all the work you've done for your brother who you've taken care of now, where it appeared that things didn't happen for you. God said, that was a test. She passed that one. She's still committed. She's still doing those things that she's supposed to do. She didn't get all caught up in the war as me and said, shoot, I'm going to just let my brother go on because none of this stuff happened. I didn't get a chance to get all this. No, y'all could just, she passed that. She's still faithful. Oh, well, I got to send another tool. I'm going to have her going on these tracks. She ain't going to be looking. The train going to be bagging up. I'm going to knock off the road. And it ain't going to kill her, though. Just going to knock off the road, knock the car crazy, and have it. I'm going to send some more drama, see if she read it. Oh, she's still glorifying me. Okay, she read it for this now. Now, all that work was not in vain, because Yah knew how he wanted to compensate her for all the faithfulness that she did concerning her brother. All just from a heart perspective. I want to do this because I love my brother, Yah, so I got something for you, and it's going to make up for all the resources that you've supposed to be getting in other incidents. But she had been like Elijah, running for her life, saying, I'm the only one living right. Ain't nobody that's living right, and I ain't thinking about nobody but Jesus. Y'all been like, she ain't ready yet. Let me sit over in the corner and send another tool. And if she still don't get it, I just replace her and get somebody else.
I don't want that to happen.
I don't either, go. So that's why I'm teaching this to us all, so that we can come into that understanding and know what's happening to you, baby. Just realize, y'all love you enough to send tools. But these tools is to get us to an end result. Yes, I love you, and I don't want you to stay right here. Okay? So last thing now. In life, stand back and look at your own work. Examine yourself. Allow God to deal with you on a daily basis. And when the enemy come in like a flood, know the Spirit of God is going to raise up the standard. Know when these things come in, know when these tools come in, and you have difficult times, know that Yah is working on you. He's working with you. Don't focus on the tools. Look for Yah. Say, Yah, okay, why did you let this happen? What is it that you're getting out of me? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I had a good day today, man. I was like, man, Yah is he's just so awesome today. And my friend was seeing Yah work, and so it was encouraging to him, too. Man, I just had a blessed day to see all the stuff happen today and what Yah is doing. And I know all the stuff that's happened to me, you know, the past few days. I'm looking for Yah, and I'm like, Yah, you did it to make me better. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's okay. Everything is fine. You still continue the course. I know what you told me. Everything's going to be exactly the way that you told me. It's just that you had to let some dilemmas and circumstances happen to get me where you want me to be. I'm looking for Yah. Y'all got this? Okay. Any other questions, comments? Y'all good?
I have one more comment.
Go ahead.
The conversation I had with my brother when he told me he had made me his beneficiary, I told him I'd rather have you than to have the money. And he said, I'd rather for you to have me than to have the money. But the thing of it is, the Lord did something for me. When he took him and he gave me this blessing, he did something for me. He changed my life. God changed my life in ways that I didn't understand would happen in a good way. So even though he took him, the blessing extended beyond the money. Mm-hmm. The money is small in comparison to everything that he's done in my life to cause me to have a closer walk with him and to trust him more.
In other words, what happened to you from this incident is you have realized that you have heard the still small voice.
Yes. And it's awesome. it's an awesome thing to happen, and it's an awesome thing for me to witness and be a part of, that he, that God considered me enough to deal with me in this manner. And then, Pastor, you came along and you started teaching us about death and what it means and the hereafter, and all of those things just fell in place to strengthen me, to help me to continue to go on to seek him more and to know him more.
I was just a tool, that's all.
Well, I thank you for that, because it strengthened me and it comforted me. And you know, through this whole experience, God has been good, and he's brought me to a place now that I've accepted everything that he's given me, because he told me, when you say, I'd rather have my brother than to have this blessing, you saying you don't want what I've given you. That's what God said to me, and I had to change my whole way of thinking and everything, because I want what he wants for me, and to say, here's this great blessing for you, and for me to say, I don't want it, I'd rather have him, that was the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And he corrected me on that, and he's just good to me. That's all I can say. And it's not about the money. It's about him being good to me, mm-hmm. and helping me to become all that he wants and needs for me to be in my life.
In other words, what I just heard is you said that is what the Savior said concerning the Father. He didn't want to go to the cross, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. We have to learn how to choose Yah's will over our will. Learn how to choose Yah's will over your own will. We all have a will. Mama Coke's will was that she rather had her brother than the money that he left for her. But Yah said, I got resources for you, because I got things that I want to do for you and for the kingdom. And so I'm bringing my will to pass. And so each one of us has to understand that we all may have a will, but it's not what you want, but it's what he wants. And we all have to, that's part of what I mean when I say you have to step back and look at your work. You got to step back and look at it and say, why am I doing this? Am I doing this for me? Or am I doing this for Yah? Does Yah want me in this wilderness right now? Or am I doing this because he told me to do this? Why are you doing what you're doing? If your answer is, well, it's what I want to do, then Yah said, you better get out of that wilderness, because if you don't, you'll be replaced. And Mama Coach said she had to learn how to accept the will of Yah, and the will of Yah was taking her brother that she may have resources to do things she needs to do. That was Yah's will.
Yes.
Not my will, but thy will be done. She wanted her brother. Yah said, but this is what I want, and you better accept what I want. That's faithfulness. Faithfulness is when you doing what Yah want instead of what you personally want. That's true faithfulness. Not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. Not what I want, not what I feel like doing, not me. What do you want, Yah? What do you want to do? We all still learning. But we got to learn. He's going to keep putting tools in our life until we get that concept to accept what Yah wants to happen for us. Okay? Don't fight the power, because you never win. It's too much power. Okay? Anything else? Good? Okay. Father, y'all, we just bless your name for your word, even these testimonies on tonight. I just pray that it was all an encouragement to hear. I just believe that it was. It was a blessing to us all. And we just thank you, Yah, for giving us the wisdom to look for you in every circumstance, whether good or bad. Yah, we appreciate that, the fact that you love us enough to even allow us to hear these words on tonight, so we can be encouraged and know that you're with us everywhere, in every facet. And we thank you for dealing with us whichever way you have decided to do it. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen.